Now, businesses are facing a double whammy in the run-up to Christmas. Level 5 restrictions remain in place until December 1st, and with just 68 days until the UK leaves the EU, possibly without a deal, although talks are continuing to try to avert that possibility. To discuss the challenges ahead, we're joined in studio now by the Tánaiste and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar. Tánaiste, thanks for being with us. Are you still confident that there will be a trade deal before before Britain leaves the EU?
That there will be a deal. It's by no means guaranteed, but I think on the balance of probabilities, it will be possible to agree a free trade agreement with the UK that means there'll be no quotas and no tariffs. But it is difficult. There are issues around fisheries to be sorted out, around governance, and also around the level playing field, which is really important, all of which are really important for us. But my message, though, to business today is I know you've had a really tough year with the pandemic, a recession caused by that pandemic, all of these restrictions, and it would be understandable if maybe Brexit was off the agenda, but it shouldn't be off the agenda because Brexit's going to happen in 10 weeks' time. The UK will leave the single market and the customs union. And whether there's a free trade agreement or not, it won't be business as usual. Things are going to change. And I'm asking businesses to be prepared for that. So wrote to them all quarter of a million of them, about 2 weeks ago, really setting out on two pages what they needed to do and also where they could get advice and financial support from government. And today we're launching the online Brexit readiness checker that businesses can use to do a little diagnostic assessment on themselves to see whether they're ready for the changes that will inevitably take place on the 1st of January, deal or no deal.
Okay, so that's it. That's an online tool that they can log into and check what they need to be doing. Are you concerned that they have lost time because of the pandemic and that many of them are simply not ready for Brexit?
I think most companies are ready and they've had to get ready on a few occasions in the past. So, it's understandable that some may feel they're ready and feel they've done the customs training already. But, you have to do that again, I think, to be used to these things. For example, the bigger firms, very ready, I think, very prepared. Smaller firms, maybe less so. But, our message to them is that if you're trading with the UK, or rather if you're trading with Britain, things are going to change. And we're the government and we're here to help you. And give you the advice you need, and financial support is available too.
What about everybody else? I mean, should households be making preparations for Brexit? I saw a piece during the week by Dan O'Brien, The Economist, and he was encouraging people to buy 10 days worth of rice, flour, pasta or tinned goods in case there are Brexit trade barriers which affect food supply. What do you think of that advice?
Well, we're not worried about difficulties with the supply chain for food or medicines. A lot of work is being done to make sure that doesn't happen. So not particularly concerned about that. But for households and everyday consumers, there are things they need to consider. For example, if you have a UK driving license, that will not be valid. So you need to exchange that for an Irish driving license. Another example would be people buying online. And a lot of people are going to shop online in the run-up to Christmas. There's no guarantee that from the 1st of January anyway, whatever about the pre-Christmas period, that you'll be able to do that in the normal way. So in the same way as people might buy things online from America and they suddenly discover that they have a VAT or customs bill to pay, that could be true if you're buying from the UK from the 1st of January. So they're the kind of things I think people need to be aware of. Okay. Also issues around pets and so on, and qualifications, all of those things need to be considered.
Let's talk about how the virus is affecting businesses. We know that there are some retailers who, despite the level 5 restrictions, are staying open, and that's because they say that they are selling PPE like face masks. What's the government's position in relation to those shops? I mean, there are shops like sports shops or shoe shops selling face masks and are remaining open at the current time. What do you say to them?
Yeah, what we're saying to retailers, and Minister English and I met with the retailers during the week, and what we're saying to them is that you need to abide by the regulations, and you also need to abide by the spirit of the regulations. So if you're a mixed retailer, and there are a lot of mixed retailers out there, you should separate your stock and only sell the items that are essential. So, for example, if you're a supermarket or a big store that has groceries and clothes, you should separate off the clothes and not sell them. Workwear is okay, but general clothing not. And we've been in touch with the Gardaí, and that will be enforced.
And is that the law? Because I see in the Sunday Times today, the Attorney General, it's reported at least, that the AG has advised that you can't close those shops, you can't penalise them for opening and selling PPE, even if they, PPE isn't their main business.
If they're selling PPE, that's one thing. But if they're trying to use PPE in order to sell other products, that's a very different thing. And just in the last hour or so, the Gardaí have a tweet and a statement out about that they will be enforcing this legislation. So if you're selling essential products, that's one thing. If you're trying to use essential products as a means of opening your store to sell non-essential products, that's not okay. That's not lawful. And we will bring an enforcement action. And it's also unfair. You know, think of the number of small shops and retailers around the country that have had to close. It's totally unfair for those that are allowed to stay open to somehow take advantage, and it won't be allowed.
Do you need to clarify the law in this area, or are you confident that it is clear and that there can be enforcement taken against those shops?
As of today, having engaged with the Department of Justice and the Gardaí, I'm confident that the law is adequate and strong enough for us to enforce it. But if we need to change the law, we will.
What about the concerns then raised by the likes of ISMI, who are saying that, you know, we'll say take a toy shop has to close at the moment, but then you've got a supermarket which is selling toys and bringing in extra stock to accommodate the demand there. I mean, they are saying that perhaps there may be a campaign of civil disobedience among smaller retailers, and that they may reopen their shops. I mean, what do you say to those those groups and those retailers?
Yeah, well, I'd say certainly to toy shops, for example, is that it is possible to sell toys online, delivery, and click on collect is also allowed for as well under the regulation. So that's a bit different to the experience back in spring. For supermarkets and big stores that are selling toys, that's a breach of the spirit of the regulations and the letter of the regulations. That shouldn't happen. They should stop doing that.
They should stop it. You can't stop them from doing it, can you?
We can, yeah.
You can,
and as of today, having engaged with the Justice Department of Justice and the Gardaí, we're confident that we can do that. Where a mixed retailer is selling non-essential products, that we can bring enforcement action against them.
Okay, now can I ask you about working from home? You are asking employers to have their staff work from home if they can. What if employers insist that their staff come to work? What do you say to them, or what are you going to do about that?
Well, the message is very clear to employers and to staff that you should work at home if at all possible, and should only attend work if there's no way to do that essential work that you need to do from home. There are mechanisms for dispute where somebody can go to the WRC, for example, and seek an adjudication. But, you know, we don't think it should be necessary to go down that route. And, you know, we're saying to employees, the way this virus spreads is from one person to the other. The whole objective of what we're doing at the moment is to remove opportunities for people to meet and interact, and therefore pass the virus from one person to the next. It needs to be observed. And if it is observed, the sooner we'll get the cases down, we'll get the virus down, and the sooner we can reopen again.
Sure, and that is the guidance, no doubt. But I mean, as Enterprise Minister, are you going to take any specific steps if you, to deal with a scenario where an employer insists that an employee should come to work when they could work from home?
But that, you know, that shouldn't happen. And, you know, we're saying very, very clearly to employees that you shouldn't go into work if you can work from home, if you can do what needs to be done from home, and that employers should not under any circumstances put their staff under that kind of pressure. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic here. We want to reduce the transmission of this virus, get cases down, reduce hospitalizations, reduce potential deaths. And the best way we can get business back up and running again is that if everyone adheres to the rules, and that's what we're saying to people they should do. And in fairness, I think the vast majority of employers are cooperating and are doing the right thing when it comes to this.
I see that the head of the HSE, Paul Reid, is tweeting today that there are now some positive indicators around the transmission of the virus. Based on the data that's coming into you, are you confident that after 6 weeks of level five that retailers will be able to reopen?
I am, actually. It is early days yet, but it does seem that the level three restrictions that the government put in place around the 5th or 6th of October are starting to have an effect. You know, we're seeing the number of cases level off, the positivity rate fall. It is early days yet, though, and we've yet to see what the effect of the level five measures is. We don't really know that until really November sometime. But if you look, for example, at the only other country in our only other country anywhere near us that's done this, and that's Israel, which enforced a second lockdown a few weeks ago, they've seen their levels fall from like 9,000 a day to something like 900. So I am confident that we will be able to get back to level three, hopefully level three in a bit in December, and that would mean all the shops opening again. But at the same time, we need to not be complacent, you know, because obviously we want to encourage people, we want to thank them for cooperating, for doing all the right things, for helping us to turn the tide against this virus, and I do genuinely thank everyone for that. At the same time, when you tell people things are getting better, there's always a risk that that can send out the wrong message, that we can relax now, and we can't actually, because this virus is spreading like wildfire across Europe, and we want to be the first country in Europe to turn the tide on that.
We know that you were opposed to going to level five when it was first proposed by Neffet, and you went on television to make it clear in very clear terms. Do you accept now that that was the wrong approach, and that you should have implemented Neffet's advice immediately, and what you've achieved by delaying implementing that advice immediately is a longer lockdown?
Well, I don't accept that, because one of the questions that we asked Neffet at the time is, could they assure us that 4 weeks, which is what they were recommending at the time, would be enough? And they said they couldn't give us that assurance. They are now saying that six will be enough. But, you know, it wasn't just me who was against moving to level five at that point. The country wasn't ready for it. The government was against it. Sinn Féin was against it. Labour was against it. And we were very unhappy at the way that advice just changed suddenly in 4 days from level two to level five. But, you know, that's gone over all ground now. I don't think that matters so much. What matters is that we are back on the same page, that we've made this decision to go for this level five lockdown with the objective of becoming the first country in Europe to turn the tide against the virus in the second wave. And we believe we can do that.
What's the government strategy? Is it rolling lockdowns until we get a vaccine?
The government strategy is what people call delay and vaccinate. So it is to delay the virus, to slow it down until such a time as a vaccine is available.
So does that mean we could be back here again in a level five scenario in the new year?
Not necessarily. But
it's possible.
It's possible, but it's by no means inevitable. And we're learning more and more about this virus all the time. And what we would seek to achieve now is to bring the R number well below one. To ensure that cases are falling significantly, and then we can start to reopen the country again, reopen it in a safe way. And what we'll seek to achieve is that with a efficient testing, tracing and isolation system, that we can keep the R number below one. But obviously, if it starts going up above one, then maybe we'll need to act. And, you know, one thing that did happen over the summer is it did go above one as far back as July. And what we did at that point was bring in incremental restrictions in an attempt to turn that around. And that didn't happen. So, you know, we are learning new things all the time. I have to say, though, in terms of the vaccine, I'm increasingly optimistic, as is government, that, you know, we will see a vaccine approved in the next couple of months, and that in the first half, if not the first quarter of next year, it'll be possible to start vaccinating those most at risk, healthcare workers and people with chronic illnesses.
Is that based on information that you have coming into you, or is it based on what you're reading?
It's based on information coming to us, both from the companies that are developing it, and then from, you know, statements from WHO, for example.
All right. Just a final issue, Tánaiste. A big story during the week was the passing of this legislation in relation to mother and baby homes. What's your response to the Data Protection Commissioner, who has suggested that there cannot be a blanket ban on accessing records, which are supposed to be sealed now for 30 years under the law? In other words, I mean, the legislation passed by the Oireachtas contravenes European law.
No, I don't think that's what the Data Protection Commissioner is saying, actually. What the Commissioner is saying is that there is no blanket ban and no seal on these records. That is correct. People who want access to their individual personal information can have access to that because it is their personal information. They can do that under GDPR.
So this information that is supposed to be under lock and key and sealed, you're saying now to those people they can access that information?
Well, you know, that's what we've always been saying. And, you know, I've been thinking a lot about this and reflecting on it for the past few days, and speaking to Minister Gorman and the Taoiseach. There's been a huge outpouring, I think, of emotion and empathy around this. And I think people have genuinely got the wrong message about this. You know, this is the situation. The database, the archive, is not going to be sealed. and put away and hidden for 30 years. That's not going to happen. That was never the intention. It's going to be protected. It's going to be preserved. And for people who want access to their personal information, we'll make sure that they're able to get that access. For people who want their personal information to remain private, and that's their right too, it'll remain private. And we're certainly not going to allow a situation whereby the secrets of the past remain hidden. We're not going to allow this very dark period of our history to be swept under the carpet. That's not going to happen. The records are not going to be sealed and locked away for 30 years. They're going to be protected and preserved. And those who want access to their personal information will get that access.
All right, Tánaiste and Minister for Enterprise, Trade and Employment, Leo Varadkar, thank you very much indeed for coming into our studio.